chickens. She couldn't bring herself to count them. Dimly, she registered that it wasn't cold enough to have killed the hens. She screamed, dropped the dead hen, and ran, not allowing herself to look for more casualties. Ben tipped the glass coffee carafe to refill his mug a second time. He enjoyed the quiet peacefulness of pre-dawn. It was a span of minutes when the world around him hadn't yet awakened to greet the new day, and it gave him an opportunity to just be. He liked to sit at his kitchen table and let his mind wander as he sipped coffee. Drawing in the steam from his coffee, he relaxed on the spindle-back kitchen chair and resumed staring at the darkness that huddled close against the window over the sink. "My time," he thought, flexing his shoulders to awaken his muscles for the work that awaited him. He had no idea what the day might bring, and he didn't care. For now, he wanted to enjoy the sensation of being in a suspended dimension where no one existed but him. His cell phone rang. The sound obliterated his sense of isolation. He briefly considered not answering. Who in his right mind dialed someone up at this hour? An automated telemarketing computer, possibly, but he was in no mood to interrupt his morning ritual by listening to a recorded message about a trip he'd just won. Still, it could be important. A family emergency, maybe. Sighing, he drew the phone from his pocket and stared at the lighted screen. He didn't recognize the number and almost sent the call to voicemail. Then he remembered that his mom had gotten a new phone. She might have changed her number.
"Hello, this is Ben," he said.
"They're dying!" a woman shrieked. Ben winced and moved the device an inch from his ear.
"Who is this?"
"They're dying, Ben! I did something wrong! I fed them something bad! Something! At least 12 are dead!"
"Sissy? Is that you?"
He heard a sniff and a gulp. "Yes, yes, of course it's me! Who else do you know with chickens?"
"You need to calm down, honey."
"Calm down?" A strangled noise came over the air. "My babies are dying right and left, and you tell me to calm down?" Her voice was so shrill it sliced through him like a well-honed knife. "Please, will you come? Please, Ben, maybe you can do something before all of them die." Ben wasn't as confident in his ability to save the day as she was, but he could tell she might soon bypass mere panic and move into full-blown hysteria.
"Of course I'll come. Are you in the coop?"
"No, I ran back into the cafe to get your cell number. Thank God I forgot to throw it away last night. Please hurry." She'd intended to throw his number away? That stung.
"Listen, sissy, stay out of the coop. I'll be there as soon as I can. It's unlikely, but it could be avian flu."
Ben had read recently about an isolated incident of bird flu in Crystal Falls, and off the top of his head, that was one of the things he could think of that might kill a number of chickens suddenly. Housed in that new insulated coop, the chickens couldn't have frozen to death, and they'd all looked fine to him yesterday.
"I'm not familiar with avian flu, whether it's contagious to humans or not. Just to be safe, stay away from the flock until I can assess the situation."
"Oh, God, what's avian flu? Hurry, Ben, please, please hurry." Chapter 8. Ben sent his truck hurtling through the pre-dawn darkness, gripping the wheel so tight his fingers hurt. Ignoring stop signs on the deserted roads, he kept a sharp eye out for other vehicles. With any luck, if a cop spotted him bending the speed limit by over 20 miles an hour, it would be his brother Barney, and he could talk his way out of it. As if Barney went by the book. By the time he parked next to Sissy's coop, dawn was sending pale fingers over the mountains and lighting the valley. In the dim glow of the porch light, he saw Sissy waiting outside for him, her compact body huddled in a puffy jacket with her arms crossed over her chest. Her shoulders jerked with what he guessed were sobs. He swung out of his truck with Finn trying to follow close on his heels.
"Hey, Sissy," he called out. "You stay there, okay?"
Nearly shutting the door on the disappointed dog's nose, he started toward the coop and then stopped dead in his tracks as something occurred to him.
"Did you pick up any of the dead chickens?"
She answered with a nod. He was too far away to see her face clearly, but he felt certain she was crying. Damn. It wasn't smart to love chickens. Sometimes they died young, the victims of predators, egg-binding, and other things.
"Then go inside," he yelled. "Throw your jacket straight into the washing machine, then scrub all your exposed skin with antibacterial soap, okay? I know you're upset, but you have to protect yourself just in case they've got something contagious."
"Oh, Ben," she wailed. "What if I fed them something that's killing them?"
"Chickens normally won't eat things that are bad for them."
Ben's chest squeezed at the raw pain threading through her words. And what he just told her was mostly true, with his chickens at least.
"Whatever it is, I'm almost certain it isn't your fault. Go on now. Clean yourself up and hurry. Don't forget the antibacterial soap."
Sissy nodded, swiped her sleeve across her nose, and vanished into the building. For a second, all Ben could think of was the germs that she'd just rubbed against her mucous membranes. Then he forced himself to head toward the coop. With luck, whatever was killing the chickens wasn't contagious to humans. In the front section, all the chickens looked fine. He stepped close to the roosts to get a better look. They still appeared to be in good health to him. Then he stepped into the new wing and stopped in his tracks. He counted 14 dead chickens, and another one, huddled near the feeders, looked as if she might be dying. What the hell? Ben bent over a dead hen. He studied it and then rolled it over with the toe of his boot. Nothing. No sign of injury. He quickly exited the coop and strode across the yard to the porch. Inside the building, he found Sissy in the laundry room, which was located in the back storage section. Drying her arm, she turned toward him. Her eyes looked red and swollen. She sniffed, swallowed hard, and asked, "Well, what killed them?" Ben tried to ignore the quaver in her voice.
"I don't know. I need some disposable gloves and a plastic garbage bag. I'm going to take one of the dead ones to the vet and let him make the diagnosis."
He saw her soft mouth twist and quickly added,
"Sissy, this isn't your fault. Trust me. If it was something you fed them, a whole lot more would be dead."
She walked to the kitchen, her posture stiff and her movements jerky. She plucked two disposable gloves from a box with a dispenser opening at the top. Then from under the sink she fetched a white garbage bag. Handing the items to Ben, she said, "It's so early. I doubt the vet's office is open." Ben nodded.
"It isn't. I'll seal the—"
he nearly said specimen, but decided it was too impersonal.
"The dead hen in the plastic bag and put her in the bed of my truck where she can't contaminate the cab. Then I'll go home and get my chores done before I go in. I'll call before 8 and let them know I'm coming."
He puffed air into a glove before stuffing his fingers into it.
"I'm surprised you have these in my size. My mom says all the guys in our family have bear paws for hands."
"I keep boxes in all sizes," she shrugged her shoulders. "I bought them when I was still thinking about hiring help." A crease appeared between her finely drawn dark eyebrows. "I should have had you wear some last night." Ben drew on the second glove, wondering if she was in a mild state of shock. Her worrying right then about health regulations seemed off-kilter to him.
"Next time, I'll be sure to ask for some. I did scrub up good, though, before I handled any food."
She stared at the plastic bag he held. What should I do with the other dead ones?" Her lower lip trembled, and it yanked his heart out.
"Look, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. There's plenty of food and water for the rest of the chickens, so don't go back in there until we know what we're dealing with."
Tears welled in her big blue eyes. "But Ben, I want to give them a proper burial. They're my little friends." Ben thought of reminding her that the ground beneath the surface was undoubtedly frozen, and any grave would probably have to be chiseled out with a pick and shovel. But he took another look at her stricken expression and changed his mind. Aloud, he said,
"Okay. If the vet says that's safe, I'll help you get it done."
At 8, Ben's truck was parked in front of the Caring Hands Veterinary Clinic. Because the vet tech, Cassidy Peck, didn't yet know what disease the bird might be carrying, Ben was admitted through the back door of the clinic and ushered into an examining room with all speed. An attractive young lady with black hair and gorgeous blue eyes, Cassidy greatly resembled her brother Chris, who co-owned Peck's Red Rooster with his wife Kim.
"I can bring you a cup of coffee," she offered before exiting the room. "I'm fine. I already got my morning jolt of caffeine. Thanks."
After the door closed behind her, Ben laid the plastic bag on the examining table and sat on a straight-backed chair in the corner. He half expected to be left waiting for at least 30 minutes, but Jack Palmer surprised him by entering the room almost immediately. Ben stood. A tall guy with light brown hair, gray eyes, and a winning smile, Jack wiped his palm on his white scrub coat and greeted Ben with a handshake.
"When I did coursework at university to treat birds, I thought I'd probably never need the knowledge."
He laughed and jerked his head toward the lumpy bag on the table.
"Living in Mystic Creek proved me dead wrong. I get parrots, canaries, and finches on a regular basis. No chickens, though. Most farmers around here just wring their necks if they get sick."
Ben nodded his understanding.
"Could it be avian flu?"
Approaching the table as he pulled on a pair of gloves, Jack went from guy next door to professional and businesslike.
"Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Have Ms. Bentley's chickens been exposed to wild waterfowl?"
Ben stepped closer.
"I don't think so. There's a stream from Mystic Creek at the back of her property. I've been building her a new coop and run, been working on it for a couple of weeks. I haven't seen any ducks or geese, and this is the time of year when they're migrating. I don't think there's enough water to attract them."
Ben paused.
"A case of avian flu was reported in Crystal Falls. Do you think that's it?"
"Well, let me have a look to see what we're dealing with." Tapping her toe, Sissy watched Blackie through the pass-through window as he finished his lunch with painstaking slowness. Ben had texted her to say that the death of her hen hadn't been her fault, the problem could be treated, and he'd fill her in on the details later. Blackie was the only midday diner left in the cafe, and she was eager to dash outside. She'd seen Ben's truck parked near her coop earlier when she'd gone into the storage area, so she knew he had returned from the vet and hopefully could tell her what was wrong with her feathered babies. It took all her self-control not to ask Blackie to hurry. After what seemed like weeks, he pushed his dish away and drew out his wallet. His wavy black hair glistened in the overhead light.
"That sure was a good burger, Sissy, and I'd love to know your seasoning secret for those fries."
Sissy hurried into the service area behind the counter. "I'd love to tell you, Blackie, but I have an emergency out back. Maybe tomorrow?" His deep blue eyes filled with concern.
"What emergency?"
"My hens are dying. I'm not sure why. Ben took one of the dead ones to the vet. When he texted me, he didn't tell me exactly what's wrong, only that it's treatable and to get out there to help him as soon as I can. I'm frantic to find out what's wrong."
"Oh, honey, I know how you love those pullets."
He handed her his credit card.
"Let me settle up with you and I'll go out back too. I've never raised chickens, but that doesn't mean I can't try to help."
Tears burned in Sissy's eyes. She'd grown so fond of Blackie. Apparently, the feeling was mutual. "I think I'll put up my closed sign and lock the door." Sissy's voice twanged because her throat had tightened with the urge to cry. For her, tears were a sign of weakness, and she would be mortified if Blackie saw her lose control. "I don't know what we're dealing with, but your help will be appreciated." After running Blackie's credit card, Sissy headed toward the kitchen to put his dishes into the machines. Behind her, she heard him say,
"I'll head on out to see what Ben's up to."
"I'll be right there," Sissy called over her shoulder. Minutes later, when Sissy reached the backyard, she saw that Ben had already dug 14 holes. The remains of her feathered friends lay in the depressions, as yet not covered with dirt. then wiped his sweaty brow with his shirt sleeve as he turned to face her. Even with dirty hands and dampness spotting his blue shirt, he looked fabulous, his sharply hewn features shiny with perspiration, his eyes, normally a shimmery amber, darkened with sadness for her.
"I figured you might want to say some words over each of them or throw the first handfuls of dirt, so we waited to fill in the graves."
He bent his head, which was hatless. Normally he didn't remove his Stetson. She guessed that he had worked up such a sweat that he'd wanted to protect the felt.
"The ground's frozen right beneath the surface, so it was hard digging and I didn't go very deep. But the vet says a few inches of dirt over them will do the trick."
"He used a pick and dug all the holes by himself," Blackie inserted.
Sissy avoided looking closely at the hens. "Thank you, Ben. It was thoughtful of you to wait until I could say goodbye." In truth, it was so thoughtful that it alarmed her. How could any woman in her right mind resist this guy? I've been worried half to death. Has anyone else died? What does the vet think it is, and how do we treat it?" Ben nodded, which didn't tell her much because she didn't know which question he was addressing. Then he cleared his throat.
"When I checked a few minutes ago, no other chickens were dead, but a couple looked mighty sick. It's a lice infestation, Sissy. The worst Jack's ever seen."
Her heart jerked. "Lice? But I try to keep the coop clean. It was my fault, wasn't it? Did they get it from overcrowding?"
"It was nothing you did. For now, can you just hold on to that thought and let me give you the details later? We've got to thoroughly dust all 66 remaining chickens with lice powder and also treat their coop and run. It's going to be one hell of a job."
Blackie, standing just behind Ben, angled his neck to meet Sissy's gaze.
"I'll help."
He scratched behind his ear, then he raked his nails back and forth over his scalp.
"It's usually slow at my place now. People don't drop by to pawn anything until they get off work."
He shrugged.
"I planned to watch the Ducks game I recorded this weekend, but it'll wait."
Blackie was such a huge fan of the Oregon Ducks that he often wore hats and coats bearing the team's logo. Sissy forced a smile. "I hope they win."
Blackie scowled. "They didn't. Charlie Bogart came in and told me the score. He knows I have to record the games because I'm busy on weekends, and that telling me who won always ruins it for me when I watch a game, but he does it every chance he gets. I wish I could gag him."
Ben laughed and then sobered, flashing Sissy an apologetic look.
"Charlie does love football. Maybe that's why he started a sporting goods store."
Normally, Sissy feigned an interest in football so Blackie could enjoy telling her about the plays, good or bad, made by his favorite team. But today she could muster no enthusiasm. "Ben, did the vet say that all of my hens are in danger of dying?" Ben bent his head and kicked the dirt with the toe of his scuffed boot. He usually looked straight at her when he spoke, and that he wasn't doing so now warned her of what was coming.
"The lice suck blood, and all the hens are severely anemic. A lot more of them could die, maybe even all of them. The sooner we get these dead ones buried and start dusting hens, the better."
Sissy nodded and stepped over to the row of graves. She wanted to tell each hen goodbye and make up a silent prayer, but worry over her surviving pullets pressed her to hurry. She felt a big hand settle over her shoulder. Warmth seeped through her shirt to penetrate her skin. She knew without looking that it was Ben who touched her. Ben, whose phone number she'd intended to throw away. Ben, who hadn't laughed when she told him about her ghost. Ben, who had worked so hard to create a proper home for her chickens. Tears filled her eyes. She decided one must have slipped over onto her cheek, because the grip of his fingers tightened a little, not enough to hurt, but just enough to say, "I'm here. I understand."
"They're only chickens," she pushed out. "It's dumb to make a big fuss over this when the others need treatment. Just cover them with dirt."
"They were your pets," he replied.
his voice gone gruff with what she suspected was emotion, not because he had loved the birds, but because he knew she had.
We at least need to say something over them. That won't take long.
Sissy had never learned to pray. Her father was agnostic or atheist. Her mom was a believer, but she'd never stood up to her husband and insisted on going to church. Sissy had never attended a single worship service.
I don't have a clue what to say.
Ben kept his left hand on her shoulder and placed his other palm over his chest.
That's fine. I'll do it for you.
He cleared his throat.
God, we know you love all the creatures you created, and Sissy particularly loved these birds. They had names, and they were her friends.
He coughed, which made Sissy want to laugh and cry both at once. How many guys would try to pull off a reverent burial for a bunch of chickens?
Anyway, it's really hard for her to say goodbye. But we know there'll be a wonderful place for them in heaven, where they can enjoy free range and lots of sunshine. And someday, when Sissy passes over, please let them be waiting for her at that, bridge. The bridge where pets wait for the people they love.
The Rainbow Bridge, Blackie supplied from behind them.
It's a real place, honey. Those chickens will be waiting there, mark my words. Just don't take off to meet them anytime soon. I'd miss your cheeseburgers something fierce.
Sissy did laugh then, even through tears.
Goodbye, little friends. Be happy until I get there.
For Blackie, she added. But that won't happen for a long, long time. Ben and Blackie, manning shovels, filled in the small graves with dirt. Sissy stood at the end of the row, wishing she knew the words to a prayer. Instead, her silent plea was, "Please, God, love them for me. They were sweet little hens." Sissy checked to make sure she'd locked the front door of the cafe. Then she rushed upstairs to change into a long-sleeve cotton shirt that would protect her arms from the insecticide dust. When she went back outside, Ben and Blackie, with the sleeves of their shirts rolled down and buttoned, already wore white dust masks, which she guessed Ben had purchased somewhere. On the drop tailgate of his pickup sat numerous white containers. Blackie seemed nervous. He kept rubbing his shoulder or arm, then he'd scratch his head. Ben apparently noticed it as well.
Blackie, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you these lice don't stay on humans. Jack Palmer says we don't have to worry.
Blackie released a whoosh of breath that made his mask billow.
Now you tell me.
Ben turned and met Sissy's gaze as he handed her a mask. With the lower half of his face covered by the band of pleated white, his eyes seemed even more intense without his handsome features to detract from them. As she started to loop the elastic bands over her head, he added,
"Cinch it in tight and make sure you squeeze the metal band over the bridge of your nose. The less of this dust we breathe, the better."
Sissy had never dusted chickens, and she felt certain that Blackie hadn't. But Ben, shooing chickens back from the door, led the way into the coop and set the white containers on the floor. He turned to give them both instructions. Holding a container of dusting powder, he grabbed an unsuspecting hen from the uppermost roost and flipped her upside down. She shrieked and cackled. This sent every other hen in the front section airborne. Blackie ducked and cried, "Holy shit!" Sissy barely missed getting struck in the face by a terrified feathery missile. Plumage flew as alarmed hens began squawking to one another about the invasion of two-legged marauders intent on committing murder and mayhem.
"It isn't going to be a walk in the park," Ben yelled, trying to be heard over the raucous cries. "But this is how it's done."
He gave them a quick demonstration. Blackie, still dodging chickens in flight, was dropping F-bombs as rapidly as a crazed fighter pilot during World War II.
"How are we gonna know which ones we've dusted? We've got lots of the same colors here." "They'll look powdery," Ben yelled back. "When in doubt, dust again."
Sissy led the way into the back wing, where countless other birds had flown into a panic. Ben had warned that dusting the hens wouldn't be easy, but Sissy had not envisioned a game of football tackle. The frightened chickens flapped. They squawked. They tried to hide. Blackie sprawled on his belly twice to catch his first two, and Sissy wasn't sure for whom she was more concerned, the man or the poor birds he was attacking. Then she forgot everything but the job, catching and dusting her little friends in an attempt to save their lives. She made a grab for Gizmo and missed. Gizmo sped for the other section of the coop with Sissy in hot pursuit. As she charged through the archway after her, Ben stepped into Gizmo's escape path. Sissy missed grabbing the chicken by the legs and rammed her head into Ben's belly. He went, oof! The impact knocked Sissy to her knees. She lost her grip on the dust can, and it rolled across the floor to be lost in the floor-to-ceiling fog. Are you all right? Ben grasped her shoulders and lifted her to her feet. Stunned by the collision, Sissy couldn't focus on the question, and instead found herself marveling over his strength. He'd plucked her up as if she weighed no more than the feathers floating in the air. Sissy, talk to me. Did you hurt your neck? That was a hard hit. She blinked, trying to see him. She knew his face had to be up there somewhere. All she saw at first were impact stars and then dust and floating feathers. When she finally located his features, she smiled behind her mask. He was white. Even his hair was covered. He looked like a snow sculpture of a cowboy who'd lost his hat. I'm fine, she drew back a step. Did I hurt you? The corners of his eyes crinkled, making shadowed creases in the powder. She knew without seeing his mouth that he was grinning. Not a bit. A bird flapped past his shoulder. I'm just thinking that now I know how you'll look when you get old and your hair turns white. He would think of something like that. She probably looked like Whistler's mother's mother. Oh yeah? How will I look? Absolutely beautiful. After the chickens had been dusted, Sissy, with all her muscles aching, sat between her two helpers in the shade of a sturdy ponderosa. They had removed their masks, exposing the only flesh tones left on them, except for under their clothes. As comical as they looked, Sissy, dragging in fresh drafts of clean air, figured that she probably looked just as funny. So, tell me something, Ben said. Did you buy any used feeders that came from someone else's coop? Yes, Sissy replied. I got a used grain tub and some feeders on Craigslist. Why do you ask? Because the vet says a flock of chickens from a hatchery almost never get infested with lice unless they're introduced. Sissy's muscles tensed. So it was my fault after all. No, Ben said. You had no way of knowing the equipment was contaminated. Blackie, who had apparently gotten his second wind, pushed to his feet. Well, my friends, the fun's over. I'm headed home to shower. I think I've got that dang dust on my tonsils. Be sure to throw every stitch of your clothes in the washer, Ben advised, and cycle them on hot to kill the lice and larvae. Blackie laughed. I got a better idea. I'm sealing them in a garbage bag and throwing them out. Right now, I'm a walking, talking lice killer covered with all this crap. Yes, Ben agreed, but we want to stop these lice dead in their tracks. The larvae in Sissy's coop and run will hatch in about 10 days, and we'll have to dust all her chickens again. Blackie scratched his white head. Dust filtered upward. Winking at Sissy, he walked away, calling over his shoulder, I may be busy in 10 days. Ben chuckled. I'd make sure of it if I were you. Sissy gazed after her older friend as he vanished around the corner of Marilyn's building. What a thoroughly good and decent man he was. I can't go home like this, Sissy. I could infect my chickens with lice. Sissy's danger radar went on immediate red alert. What are you saying? He met and held her gaze. Jack Palmer says we have to strip off in front of the washing machine, throw all our clothes in, and wash them in piping hot water while we jump in the shower and scrub ourselves from head to toe. Was it her imagination, or had he put the slightest emphasis on the word we. He was interested in her, but she didn't feel that way in return. Well, okay, she did, but she'd learned from experience not to let her feelings overrule her common sense. Besides, she had only one shower, and that was in her upstairs bathroom. Surely he wasn't suggesting that they strip off and race upstairs naked together. Only she had a very bad feeling that he was. No way, mister, she thought. No freaking way, no matter how much help you gave me. That isn't happening, she said firmly. You can go home and do your stripping at your house. A twinkle of devilment slipped into his hazel eyes.
No can do. If I go home like this, I may drop larvae inside the cab, and Finn could get them on him. If I take that larvae to my farm, all my chickens will be in danger of getting infested.
Before I knew it was lice, I already went to the farm and got in my truck. Doing it again doubles the risk.
An image of her coop and dead chickens danced across her mental TV screen. Sissy would go to almost any length to prevent Ben's flock from getting infested. But getting naked and showering with him wasn't one of them. Think, girl, she ordered herself. And think fast. And it had better be good, because I have a hunch he's going to do everything he can to outmaneuver you. Chapter 9. Standing with Ben in the laundry room, which was sectioned off from the storage area, Sissy scrabbled for inspiration. What should she do? Did he really expect her to shuck off her clothes with him standing 3 feet away? Not happening, Mr. Sterling, no matter how persuasive you are. She had a hunch he understood the conflict raging within her. His dimple flashed as he bit back a smile. With the mask gone, he resembled a very handsome clown who'd forgotten to stick a red ball on his nose.
There's more than one way to skin a cat, he told her, his tone laced with suppressed laughter. I'll turn my back while you strip off and put your clothes in the machine. You can run upstairs and shower. I'll wait here. When you're clean and dressed, come downstairs, holler at me, and go into the kitchen. If you promise not to peek, I'll strip off, start the washing machine, and go upstairs to grab a shower myself.
It sounded like a workable plan, except for one detail. But after you shower, you'll have nothing clean to put on. You won't fit into anything of mine.
Got it covered. I'll call Jeb and have him drop off a set of clothes for me. When he gets here, you can take them upstairs and put them on the floor just inside your apartment door.
Sissy considered her options and realized she had no others. And I'm supposed to feel certain you won't peek? The corners of that distractingly sexy mouth twitched. She suspected he was making a huge effort to control a guffaw.
I give you my word that I won't look while you undress. I guess it's a question of whether you trust me, Sissy.
Sissy's mouth popped open to tell him she'd learned as a teenager never to trust any guy, no matter what he said. She shut it again immediately. The word trust always did that to her. She'd made only a few exceptions during the years since high school. Except for Gus, her last boss, who tutored her over the phone while she learned to cook in a commercial kitchen, and a couple of guys she'd worked with who hadn't done her dirty. Nearly all her personal encounters with men had been disasters, and she wasn't going to add Ben to the list. No way in this world. Deep down, though, she knew that wasn't fair. He'd worked hard for her, and he'd been paid with only food. Before burying her chickens, he'd shown her a depth of compassion and caring that had touched her heart. And honestly, with her covered from head to toe in lice powder, what man in his right mind would make a move on her? This one, something inside her insisted. This one. All right, she agreed. Turn your back, all the way around. He turned to stare at the wall, which bore hooks for drying clothing on hangers.
No threats? I figured you'd tell me that if I look, you'll drown me in bleach or shove my head through a wall.
Sissy felt a grin tug at her mouth. No violent threats. You're on your honor. You said you won't peek. I'm trusting you to keep your word. If you don't, you've had your last piece of green apple pie with cheese.
Damn, I can't risk that.
He sighed, spread his booted feet, and put his hands on his hips. Even dusted pure white, he cut a fabulous outline. Now she knew for sure where the old adage, broad at the shoulders and narrow at the hip, had come from.
I hate it when a woman trusts me. It spoils all my fun.
Sissy jerked open the door of the front loader and began tossing in articles of clothing as she undressed.
Don't move, she reminded him.
Okay. She felt nervous and jumpy. It felt all wrong to be getting naked with him in the room. What if he suddenly turned on her? She doubted anyone could hear if she screamed for help. But of course he didn't turn, and she silently scolded herself for thinking he might. She'd been around Ben enough to know he wasn't like that. Okay, I'm going up to shower, she told him, glad that she'd locked the front door of the cafe and put up the closed sign. I'll let you know the minute I get back downstairs.
Leave your shoes, he said. While you're showering, I'll give them a hot rinse to remove any larvae.
Okay. Sissy darted from the storage room area and took a sharp right to race up the stairs. Once in her apartment, she released a pent-up breath. She'd kept her eye on him, and he'd never once turned his head, not even slightly. Imagine that. A guy who honored a promise. She wasn't sure if she was pleased or disappointed. For her, the bottom line was that Ben's trustworthiness made him all the more tempting, and she wasn't sure how much longer she could resist him. Ben felt better after showering. His brother Jeb had dropped off clothes for him. He and Jeb were of the same height and build, so the borrowed threads fit him perfectly. His boots were still damp from the good rinse he'd given them, but he could live with that. As he finger-combed his hair in front of Sissy's bathroom mirror, he sniffed and grinned. He smelled of lavender, probably from her soap. Oh well, he'd shower again before bed. Ben had never been given to snooping, but Sissy's bathroom was so tidy that he couldn't resist opening the medicine cabinet. His was a mess. Hers was the epitome of neat and organized. He turned, taking in her neatly folded red towels which hung on a chrome rack. One felt slightly damp, telling him that she'd used it to dry off after her shower. He'd rented motel rooms less tidy than this. On his way from the bathroom, he surveyed her bedroom. Again, all he saw was orderly and neat. Her small living room impressed him, too. The surfaces on her coffee and end table shone as if they'd recently been polished. Her entertainment center, also dust-free, sported an assortment of organized DVDs all in their cases. He leaned closer and thought, yep, in alphabetical order. He always left his remote sitting on his recliner, but hers lived next to her TV, perfectly lined up at the edge of the stand. He had to face it. He was extremely attracted to a neat freak. She was also one of the sweetest individuals he'd ever met, and the better he got to know her, the more convinced he became that he'd finally found Miss Wright. Today she had struggled not to cry, but she'd forfeited the battle by allowing one tear to slip down her cheek. When she looked at Blackie, her eyes reflected her fondness of him. She was a person who felt things deeply yet tried to hide that fact. She worked her tail off in that cafe, and yet he'd never once heard her complain. After so many hours of standing, her feet had to hurt at night, but she never grumped about it. For a little gal, she had a lot of pride and strength of character. He admired those traits in almost anyone. In short, he admired Sissy. It had pleased him earlier when she'd trusted him not to look while she undressed. He was making headway with her. Slow and steady wins the race. The problem was, he wanted to step up the pace, considerably. The cafe was filled with customers when Ben went downstairs. Before trying to find a seat at the counter, he went to the laundry room and threw the freshly washed clothing into the dryer. As he turned the knob to start the machine, he decided to forget his clothes. That would give him an excuse to come back one extra time, and he'd be sure to do it when her business was slow so he could spend a few moments alone with her. Shit. He was in trouble. Back out front, he found one vacant stool at the bar next to the street-side window. He was glad to be tucked away where Sissy might not notice him at first. She had been through a long and trying day, both physically and emotionally. He intended to stay after she closed to help her clean up and do breakfast prep. She wouldn't like it. But if he left her to do all the work alone, he'd like that even less. When she spotted him at the counter, she missed a step, almost coming to a stop. Their gazes locked. For an instant, the loud hum of voices around them seemed to disappear, making Ben feel as if he and Sissy were the only two people in the cafe. He could have sworn that the air between them was charged with some weird electricity that no one but them could feel. Then, as if it never happened, the moment was gone, and she reached the counter. "What'll it be tonight?" He wanted to say, "You. Nothing else but you." But he knew she wasn't ready. That felt weird to him, too. Nowadays, women quite often went to bed with men they barely knew.
"What do you recommend?"
"The meatloaf is getting rave reviews, and a number of people are saying the beef bourguignon is the best they've ever tasted." She pronounced it bourguignon. Definitely an English butchery of the French word, but Ben didn't care. Sissy's knowledge bank, though different from his own, enabled her to cook like few other people he'd met. She had her talents, he had his, and all he wanted was to meet her somewhere in the middle. No maybe to it. He was falling hard for her, and that scared him. What if she could never return his feelings? 2 hours later, when Sissy argued with Ben about him staying at the cafe after closing to help her, he said, "Think of training me in the kitchen as a form of insurance. If something ever happens and you need help, I'll know your routine." "Cooking for yourself at home is not the same as cooking in an industrial kitchen. If something happens, you can't take over running this place for me." Ben enjoyed it when her eyes sparked with indignation. They grew as blue as laser beams.
"You might be surprised by how much I know about industrial kitchens."
"Don't tell me. You flipped burgers at McDonald's in high school."
Have you seen a McDonald's in this town? We're talking about Mystic Creek, where chains never set foot."
"You're changing the subject. If not at McDonald's, where did you get experience cooking with commercial equipment?"
"As a rodeo stockbroker, I helped cook at large ranches with industrial equipment during events. Granted, I don't know how to make your menu of dishes, but if I had recipes, I think I could manage. Besides, I'm not cooking tonight. I'm just helping with cleanup and breakfast prep. Relax. Go get my poor, freezing, abused dog and feed him some dinner."
Sissy went to get Finn. Before returning to the cafe, she stepped inside the lighted coop to check on the two hens that had looked weak that afternoon. She half expected to find them dead, but instead, though still huddled near the feeders and looking listless, they were alive and appeared to be no sicker. That lightened her heart. "The two listless hens are still alive," she told Ben as she joined him at the prep counter. "Maybe I won't lose any more chickens."
"Maybe,"
he agreed, but there was a note of doubt in his tone.
"Just don't bank on it, okay? You may lose several more. I hope not, but we've done all we can, and some of the sicker ones are up against bad odds."
"If you're so sure more of them are going to die, why don't you just go out and dig several extra graves, then?" Sissy knew she sounded waspish and wanted to call back the words. "I'm sorry. I shouldn't take it out on you. It's just... damn it, life is so unfair. One time, just one time, why can't I be lucky?" Ben stopped chopping onions.
"You've never gotten lucky? Not even once?"
"Well, Aunt Mabel did leave me the cafe." Sissy felt ashamed for not counting her blessings. "I did get lucky then. But that's the only time."
"I'm sorry," he said,
his voice so low it moved over her skin like a caress.
"Life hasn't been easy for you, has it?"
Dangerous ground, Sissy thought. But for once, she didn't care. "No, it hasn't. I know it's crazy to love my chickens so much, but they're the only pets I've ever had for any length of time."
"Then don't give up," he said.
they could all pull through. As long as you understand the odds, there's no harm in hoping.
Oh, yes, there is. Every time I hope for something, I get kicked in the teeth. He said nothing more, and Sissy regretted everything she had said, so she took refuge in silence as she grated hills of cheddar cheese. As the minutes passed, the tension slipped from her body. Ben brought a huge package of bacon from the cooler and began laying out slices on stackable racks so they'd be easy to access during breakfast rush. With a start, she realized they had developed a rhythm while they worked together and that she had come to enjoy it. What would she do when her debt to him was paid and he no longer came for meals? She would miss seeing him. Finn, satiated and drowsy, fell asleep on the floor at the end of the kitchen. When Sissy had to step around him, he didn't so much as twitch. That told her a lot about his master. Finn trusted Ben never to hurt him. He'd grown from puppyhood in an environment of kindness and caring. Maybe she'd finally met a man who was as nice as he pretended to be. "Don't even go there," she told herself. Over the next week and a half, Sissy's hens began to recover. She wondered if it was some sort of omen. Maybe her luck was changing. Ben continued to stay after closing to help her in the kitchen. Every night after he left, Sissy told herself that would be the last time and she would put a stop to it the following evening. But she didn't. Slowly, they moved beyond merely working in tandem with each other. Before she knew it, Ben began taking the initiative to start tasks on his own during breakfast prep, which allowed her to do something else. That resulted in the work getting done in half the time it took her to do it alone. And somehow, without her even realizing it was happening, she began to relax around the only man who had ever made her feel that he had the power to break her heart. They joked. They laughed. He entertained her with funny stories about his childhood, even though she never shared any of her own. Sometimes she was tempted to make something up. He had to have noticed that she didn't reciprocate with personal information, but thankfully he hadn't made an issue of it. Sissy dreaded the night when he would come in to eat the last dinner that she owed him. Silly, she told herself. She'd still see him every now and again, but it would be different when he came to the cafe as a paying customer. And she couldn't continue to let him help her without paying him. She couldn't afford that if she intended to remodel the cafe. Because of Ben, she hadn't depleted her savings that much, and she could dream about the changes she wanted to make. Penny by penny, she was determined to make it happen. Ben startled her from her thoughts.
You know how you detest feeling indebted to someone? I'm like that too. But I've got a problem. I've been banging my head against a wall for weeks and I can't figure it out. Are you any good with computer accounting software?
Sissy used a version that worked well for her.
I'm fair, I guess.
Ben told her what software he used, and Sissy said,
I'm your person, then. That's the program I use.
Pay dirt, he smiled broadly.
If I send you my files, will you have a look? I know it'll be time-consuming.
Until now, Sissy had been the recipient of favors from Ben. It felt good to have him ask her to do something for him in return. And it wasn't a small request, which made it even better. Depending upon how badly he'd screwed up, it could take her hours to get it straightened out.
I'd love to take a look, he sighed. When I get home, I'll send you the files, then.
When Sissy got upstairs later and checked her email, she saw that Ben had tried to send her his records, only they wouldn't open. She called him on his cell.
You emailed me a dud.
She stayed on the phone with him to walk him through the correct steps to send her the file. When she got it and could open it, she said,
Oh, God.
What, you still can't open it?
No, it opened.
So what's wrong with it? Sissy bit back a laugh.
Just at a glance?
Everything. Taking a guess, I think you screwed up the settings or something. Even your bank deposits are red.
What's that mean?
Red is an expense and deducted from your balance. Sissy scrolled to his last entry. According to this, you're over 700K in the hole.
Shit!
She did laugh then. Ben, don't worry. I understand this program. I'll get it all fixed for you. And I may never let you touch it again, she thought with a smile. The days passed in a relentless cycle. For an hour each evening, Sissy worked on Ben's books, trying to get months of bungled entries repaired. His last night to receive a free meal arrived all too quickly. Sissy had little to say as they worked side by side in her kitchen for the final time. She didn't trust her voice or her heart. Just as they were polishing the counters, Finn, snuggled on the floor in his customary spot, came suddenly awake and began to snarl. His ferocity startled Sissy. Normally, Finnegan was a sweet, playful little fellow.
"Whoa, buddy. Did you have a bad dream?" Ben asked the dog. "It's okay."
But Finn continued to growl, all the fur on his back bristling. He stared up at the kitchen shelves, or at something Ben and Sissy couldn't see in front of them. The hair on Sissy's arms stood up as straight as Finn's ruff. The pup's body drew taut, as if he were bunching his muscles to attack.
"What do you see, Finn?"
Ben asked, turning to study the shelving. "Something that isn't visible," Sissy thought. "Something that only a dog with keener senses can tell is there." What she considered to be the ghost incidents in her building had not ceased. There wasn't a day that went by that something weird didn't happen.
"There's something up there," Ben said.
"Brilliant, absolutely brilliant," she almost said. But her tongue was stuck to the roof of her mouth. Of course there was something up there, and Finn knew what it was. Unfortunately, all he could do was sound the alarm. Unlike Sissy, Ben was tall enough to reach the top shelves without standing on a stool, and reach them he did. He began pawing through canned goods on one shelf and spices on a lower one. Sissy winced. She kept everything organized, and he was scattering stuff with every sweep of his hands.
"You won't find anything," she told him.
Ben looked down at her. A tawny eyebrow arched over one eye.
"Of course I will. Finn says something's up here."
She didn't want to sound like a complete flake, but if she let him continue to mess up her shelves, she'd be working for hours to reorganize them. "Finn is telling you there's something there, but not something we can see." Ben turned toward her and rested his lean hips against the counter's edge.
"Are you talking about your ghost? You said all the weird stuff stopped happening."
Sissy mentally squirmed.
"Okay, so what if I did? Do you know how crazy I sound when I talk about my ghost?"
With a concerned look on his face, Ben resumed his search of her shelving. Sissy knew he would find nothing, and in the end, after she was proven to be correct, her supplies would be all out of order. Ben sighed, looked at his dog, who'd settled down and gone back to sleep, and said,
"Hell, I don't know. Maybe you do have a ghost."
He winked at her.
"On the other hand, maybe I nailed it on the head from the get-go, and you've got mice."
Sissy wasn't amused.
"Pest control says I haven't."
Together, they resumed polishing the counters, and all too soon the job was finished. This was it. The very last time they would work together. She tried to think how to tell Ben goodbye. As she tossed her towel into the hamper, she said, "My chicken coop and run are fabulous. I could never have built anything that wonderful. I don't know how to thank you, especially after all that you did when my hens got sick, digging graves and dusting chickens for hours. Ben touched a fingertip to her lips. His mouth slanted into a crooked grin, and his eyes delved so deeply into hers that she felt as naked as she'd been the day she stripped off her clothes in the laundry room.
"A thank you isn't necessary," he said.
And then, before she suspected what he meant to do, he planted a quick kiss on her forehead.
"It's been fun. We've had a lot of good times together."
As if to second that vote, Finn emitted a happy bark. Ben stepped away from Sissy, gifted her with a dazzling grin, and then left the kitchen. Beyond the pass-through window, she saw him collect his Stetson from where he'd left it on a stool, settle it just so on his head, and then pat his thigh to call his dog. She flinched when she heard the back door of the building slam closed. Forcing her feet to move, she walked through the storage area to lock up. Then, cloaked in the semi-darkness, she touched the spot above her brows where Ben's lips grazed her skin. It still tingled. "He's gone," she told herself. "Your debt to him is paid in full." She wanted to feel happy about that. No, she wanted to feel relieved. Only, instead, she felt sad. So very sad. As if she'd lost her best friend. 4 days passed, and Ben never once visited the cafe. Sissy missed him in a way she'd never expected. There was an ache in the center of her chest that wouldn't go away. Silly things, like loading a dishwasher, made her think of him and feel lost. She wished... oh, she didn't know what she wished. She just had the awful feeling that she'd been so determined not to get entangled in a relationship that she might have blown her only chance to have something special with someone. Late on the fourth night, right after she'd finished breakfast prep and gone upstairs to her apartment, her cell phone rang, startling her when it vibrated in her jeans pocket. She got heaps of calls during the day from suppliers, but her phone rarely rang this late. She had no close friends. She'd moved too often before coming to Mystic Creek to develop relationships with other women, and since inheriting the cafe, she'd had little time to socialize. She occasionally lunched with Marilyn and Ma Thomas, who'd gifted her with countless stories about Aunt Mabel, and she'd grown fond of a few customers, but none of those people would dial her number just to say hello. She pulled the phone from her pocket and stared at the number on the screen. The caller ID didn't show a name. She swiped her finger over the answer button and said, "Hello?"
"Hey."
She knew that deep voice. It flowed over her like syrup on a hot flapjack. "Ben." It was so good to feel connected to him again that her heart did a happy jig. "Hi. How are you?" She barely stopped herself from asking where he'd been. "Burned out on restaurant food, are you?" He laughed, and the sound sent warmth flowing through her.
"Hell no. I've been out of town. I had some rodeo stock that finally sold, and I made a haul to Montana. I just got back this afternoon. Long drive, but I saw some beautiful country."
Sissy wanted to say something witty, a reply that wouldn't reveal how much she'd missed him. Only she couldn't think of anything.
"You there?"
"Yes, I'm here. And so I don't forget, I've gotten the accounting mess fixed for you."
"That's awesome. I really appreciate it, Sissy. I'm no good at it, period."
That wasn't a newsflash for her. "You missed out on beef bourguignon tonight." She said it the way he once had and felt proud of herself for pulling it off, even though she'd gotten to practice all evening. "It got rave reviews."
"Damn. If you have any left over, save it for me. I'll eat it tomorrow." "You do know what tomorrow is, don't you?"
Sissy frowned. What was special about tomorrow?
No, not really. Saturday. "It's the 10th day. Chicken dusting day. Did you think I'd let you do it all alone?"
Sissy had put a reminder on her phone calendar, but it wouldn't show on her screen until morning.
"Oh, that's right. How are they doing, by the way, the chickens?"
"Good. Nobody else has died. I think their combs are getting pinker."